with all 17 hands in 1934 in a terrible storm from which it was trying to seek shelter after sailing from Warrnambool to Port Phillip Heads, finding it couldn't get in through the Heads and making a run across to try and get to Western Port. In June, we spoke to veteran diver, author and shipwreck hunter Des Williams about the remarkable discovery of this boat 70-plus years after it went down with all hands. And the divers used a Second World War patrol boat as their basic dive boat, an RAAF sea rescue vessel that was built in 1942. That boat, now renamed MV Action, has just been listed on the Australian Register of Historic Vessels, and we've got its owner with us, Justin McCarthy. How are you, Justin?
Good, thanks, Mike. Pleased to be here.
We're going to talk to you about the Action, this beautiful boat, which I haven't seen, but I've seen lots and lots of photos, and about hunting for shipwrecks. So what was the inspiration behind buying the boat, and how many houses did you have to mortgage to buy it?
luckily, I didn't have to mortgage the home. With a lot of search and effort, I was able to locate the vessel in South Australia. But my original interest is probably from a historical point of view. I've always been quite interested in the ocean, and especially our World War II sort of history.
It's a famous boat. I've got a bit more information here. This is a story that's in the Mornington News today, and it was built in 1942 in Queensland by, I've got the name of the company here somewhere.
Justin can tell us all about it.
Spring and Dinaro. Tell us a bit about it.
Well, the boat was built in 42, but I suppose we can really thank the British Admiralty, because in 1936 they appointed a guy called Scott Payne to design it. To design a fast patrol boat that could do somewhere between 20 and 30 knots. After the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor and the threat of invasion, Australia then went to the British Admiralty and said, can you give us a design of a boat that we can run up and down our coastline? So the British Powerboat Company was the name of the, was Scott Payne's business, and he designed the motor torpedo boats that traversed the channel during the war. And so Australia built about 12 of them under licence between 1942 and 1945, and Action is one of them.
Yeah, 26 knots or 27 knots, that's very fast for those days, isn't it? What sort of motor did they have driving them?
The Australian government, the original British boats had V12 Merlins in them, but Australia couldn't get the supply of motors during the war, so they put in three straight-eight Chrysler motors, which would achieve about 24 knots, was there.
So, of course, the V12 Merlin was the Spitfire motor, wasn't it?
Correct, yes.
Fantastic sound those babies make. Mm.
How many of these boats are still in existence?
I don't know of any other boats the same as Action. As I said, they built 12 under licence, and they built six 48-foot boats, and I believe that Action is the last of the 48-foot boats.
Now, this boat, tell us about its war service.
Had a very colourful sort of war service. It served up in Madang and Port Moresby in Darwin, and it was attached to the 20th Catalina Squadron and as an air sea rescue boat, and also supplied materials to the troops in Papua New Guinea during the Kokoda battles.
Now, there's some Catalinas off the beach at Broome. I think there's still a few bits and pieces of it that were knocked out by the Japanese. Is it the same squadron by chance?
No, it's not. Catalina Squadron, 20th Catalina Squadron, was based out of Darwin and Madang. Unfortunately, the Catalinas had a very also a poor record of landing and takeoff.
They were a bit slow in the air too, weren't they? Didn't they call something Goose or something? They had a pretty nasty nickname, I think. So the war ended in towards the end of 1945, and what was the Action up to after the war?
Well, at the end of the war, it was in Madang and Madang Harbour, and at the end of hostilities, we just had so many boats, and the Action was attached to the RAAF Marine Section. Now, the Marine Section specifically was just involved in air sea rescues. So,
picking up pilots.
Yeah, picking up pilots, and also if a ship was sunk, you know, out looking for sailors and things like that. So basically, at the end of the war, the Australian government disposed of nearly all of the vessels, but however, they kept Action and about eight other American-designed PT boats. And I think they kept it because it was fast. A lot of the other boats would only achieve, say, 15, 16 knots. And because of its design as a planing hull, a little bit like a speedboat, once it gets up on the plane, it really sort of gets along. So it was then transferred down to Rathmines Air Force Base in New South Wales.
Can I ask if it's faster than the American PT boats? Do you know?
No, it's not quite as fast as PT boats. We just can't match those two V12 motors.
I imagine that the hull size would have been, the hull shape or design would have been similar if they both got up on the plane.
Yes, the British design is quite unique in that they were called a whaleback. So when you actually look at the side of the boat, it has a distinct curvature along the line of the hull. Whereas American boats were, again, they were a planing hull, but they were a little bit more, unique in their own way.
Now, after the war, what have I got here? That the boat ended up in Sydney Harbour, the Sydney Harbour area, and allegedly carried Queen Elizabeth when she visited Australia in 1953. Is that true?
Yes, it is. I went down to the RAAF Museum in Point Cook, and the curator of the museum was aware of the boat but didn't know its location until I told her that I had it. And so she produced a few photographs for me and said this boat actually carried Queen Elizabeth in 1953 during her visit.
That would have been in a more sedate speed, I should imagine. I don't unless she wanted to go water skiing.
Hang on, she was pretty young and dashing then.
That's true, she was.
She was only about 23, I think. She might have liked fast boats and cars.
And then what happened to her after that into the 50s?
It stayed with the RAAF until I've locked in about 1960, and it was based out of Point Cook in Port Phillip Bay, and was picking up pilots from Fiery Fairfly Gannets, I think were the name of the planes that they had a couple crashed in the bay, and they're still there. And
something for your mob to go and find.
Go look for it.
Yeah, they've already been located, actually.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so it's
there's no fun in that.
No.
Well, they're probably in pretty poor state of disrepair too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, well, they don't look like a plane anymore. Now, they're just a bit of a mess on the bottom. Yeah, so in 1960, it was sold off at tender, and a chap bought it, and it was based out of the Royal Victorian Motor Squadron in Williamstown for about 18 years. And its duties there were to tow in yachts, and, if they became becalmed on Port Phillip Bay or someone, a yacht turned over, it would go out and sort of rescue them. And so it stayed there until 1978, and I've actually been down to the yacht squadron, and its name's all over the boards up there as different awards it won for speed trials and things like that. And then it went interstate. It disappeared interstate.
Now, this is a little bit of a grey area, isn't it? According to the information that you sent me the other day, in the 1970s, late 1970s, an Adelaide consortium bought the boat and allegedly used it for drug smuggling. That can't be right.
Well, that was the story that I was given by one of the previous owners that actually approached me about the boat. And It did. It went over to South Australia and apparently it was involved in a bit of nefarious activities, which is quite amazing, really. So it has a bit of a checkered history.
All right, but I think that's probably the only bad thing that the Action ever did, because you say that in the mid-1990s it was used to make a TV doco. What do you know about that?
It was one of the first boats that actually entered the mouth of the Murray. A boat of its size, and apparently they had a helicopter crew there to take vision of it. I've done a pretty hard search on that, but I can't find any sort of hard information about it.
Can't find the doco?
Yes.
Correct. It's got to be in someone's storage locker somewhere, doesn't it? So maybe we'll mention that in the stories that are going in the papers and see if anyone can remember that and get back to you. Now, also, it was kind of abandoned at Goolwa for some time.
Yes.
What have we found out about that?
The boat I think it just about run its lease of life, being built in 42. By that stage, it probably was about, 45 years old, and it needed money spent on it. Now, luckily, a very lucky boat that it got an owner that came along and was prepared to push quite a bit of money into it to refurbish it and bring it back up to life again.
What would that have involved, do you reckon?
It had to be slipped. It had to be completely gutted. The motors that were in it were worn out. So the chap put in 200-300 horsepower John Deere diesels. So it will still get up to about 25 knots. And actually refurbished the whole inside of it. It's a beautiful mahogany interior. And he did a fantastic job on it.
What was his motivation? Was he a history nut like you?
No, I think he just had a bit of a love of the boat, and he was at a stage in his life where he was prepared to... he was retired and he could put a bit of money into a project that he was happy to spend money on.
It's extraordinary, Alison, isn't it? Mm. This boat's 70 years old, more than 70 years old, and it looks like new. Tell us about how you acquired it.
Well, it was advertised on the internet, and I'd been searching... for probably 6 or 7 months to find an Australian boat. You could buy boats overseas, but I was, quite intent that I wanted something with an Australian flavour and history. I drove over to Kangaroo Island, and it was in a marina over in Kangaroo Island. Hadn't been used in 3 years. And
at least it was in the water.
Yeah, it was in the water, and unfortunately, when it's like a car, if it hasn't been used in a number of years, they do start to deteriorate, and it needed a bit of TLC. So after a little bit of negotiation, which took about 7 months, we finally agreed on a price. And by that stage, the chap had moved it up to Port Adelaide. So with the help of a couple of friends, we flew over and we drove it back, motored it back from Port Adelaide to Western Port.
And what sort of diesel motors are in it now, engines are in it now?
Yeah, it's got 200-300 horsepower John Deere, so it propels it along at an average speed of around 20 knots.
And what have you had it up to?
I have had it up to about 25.
So it's well and truly up on the plane?
Yeah, it was up on the plane.
What does that feel like in a boat that's 70 years old?
It's quite surprising because it does handle like a modern boat, and it's a testament to the people that designed them back in the 30s. And being a wooden boat, they do need a lot of... attention, but it just rides wonderfully, and even in rough conditions, I don't have a problem with it. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, now we're nearly off the boat. I've got a couple more notes here. Fuel tanks, 1800 litres, boat range of 1500 kilometres.
Correct.
This boat went around Australia at one stage? In one hit?
No, I don't think it went around Australia. I think it's definitely it has been around Australia. Over the course of the last 7 years, it started off in Brisbane, then up to Darwin, then Papua New Guinea, then down to Tasmania, across to Adelaide, over to Perth. So I think in different stints, it has travelled.
Now it's got the best of the old and the new. You've got, as you said before, the interior is mahogany, but you've got all sorts of modern conveniences and whiz bang tech stuff. Tell us about the fittings.
Well, with the new motors came, of course, the mod cons, which is the autopilot, good navigation equipment, depth sounders, just so that you can use the boat safely in all of the coastal waters around Australia.
Southern Ocean Exploration. Why did they choose a 70-year-old boat to go hunting for this steamship off Phillip Island?
Well, I suppose really because being a part of SOE myself, I made the boat. Said to the chaps, which are a group of like-minded individuals that like going out looking for shipwrecks.
About 30 of you, aren't there? 25?
Yeah, it's about 25 of us. Unfortunately, action can only take about 10 on at a time.
So you argue about who's going to go on.
I'm deciding. I think we'll have a ballot system. I think that'll work.
Hey, you went on last time.
Yeah, so... I'll go on.
Oh, I was going to ask, is there an advantage to looking for shipwrecks in action over perhaps a more modern boat?
Well, the advantage of using action as opposed to what we've been using in the past is that because it's so large, you can go out in all sorts of conditions. Now, a 5 metre boat, of course, you know, you're limited with wind, weather, wave action, whereas action can actually get out there, and we've actually been out in 40 knot winds, and that was the day we found the Caramba. Now, not many other boats could have been out there and sort of and done that search grid on that particular day.
In fact, I think the search might have been called off the week before because of bad weather. So, but 40 knots sounds pretty nasty to me. I've never been out in 40 knots. Alison, have you been out in 40 knots?
On a bigger boat than that, though. Yeah.
So, all right, so the alert off Cape Schanck was one of the SOE's terrific discoveries about 4 years ago from memory, 3 or 4 years ago. Tell us a little bit about the day you found Caramba.
The Caramba was lost in 1933 with all hands, so no one had a very good record of where the boat was. A chap had said he'd found it off Phillip Island in 1934, and so the search for the last 25 years had been around that area where he'd said the boat was. Unfortunately, that was about 15 nautical miles from where the boat actually is. So the day we went out and had a look for the vessel, it was very, very rough conditions. We had some GPS marks that were given to us from a chap who'd done a search from some records in Canberra, and we were actually looking for another vessel called the Commandy. And when the GPS sounder, we got over on top of the wreck, it actually stood up about 2 to 3 metres. Now, the Commandy was a wooden schooner, so it would have only really stood up about 1 metre. So we knew we had something that was a little bit different. As you said, Mike, the conditions were a little bit rough that particular day, so we abandoned the search all after we found it and headed back in and decided we'd go out on a better day.
That's fascinating. So you went out again another day and then...
Yeah, the following week we went out and we'd set up a dive team. It is at the limits of recreational diving.
I was going to say, it's a bit deep.
Yeah, it's a bit deep and you have to have pretty good conditions. So we set the team up, team went down and confirmed that it was the Caramba, twin screw Caramba.
All right, now SOE is not resting on its laurels. You're now looking for... a couple more shipwrecks. Tell us about Reliance.
The SS Reliance was built in 1865 in Melbourne, and it was a steam paddle steamer. The vessel plied its trade between Phillip Island and Port Phillip.
And quite a pretty-looking boat, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, very, very, very pretty boat. And unfortunately for it, it struck rocks, and the captain... close to port, and the captain decided that he would make a run for Port Phillip Bay. Now, I don't know what was in his mind at the time, but they got off Cape Schanck and in 1869, so the boat was only 4 years old, and it foundered. Now, luckily, there was no loss of life. They all managed to get to shore.
It's a pretty wild part of the coast, isn't it, Alison?
Yeah.
Speaking of wild parts of the coast, you're also looking for a boat called the Federal off Eden. That's up your neck of the woods when you go on holidays.
Yes, it is. It's, the Federal is quite a large ship. Sank in the 1930s in a severe storm, which I think about four other vessels sank in that area. It's approximately about 40 nautical miles northeast of Lake's entrance, but we expect it's going to be in 100 metres plus.
I was just thinking it's pretty deep there, isn't it?
Mm. Yep.
So how are you going to get down to that?
Well, the plan is that we're going to base action out of either Lake's entrance or Eden, and it's obviously too far to travel each time for a round trip, so we'll leave the boat up there for a three-month period, probably between about November and January, and coordinate our searches from probably Lakes or Eden to see if we can find it.
Now, just quickly, we haven't really mentioned the Australian Register of Historic Vessels except at the start of the show. What does that actually mean for your boat action?
Well, the Australian Register for Historic Vessels is run by the Australian National Maritime Museum, and it's specifically for vessels that have an Australian heritage that were built in Australia, that served Australia in some capacity, or have some sort of historical significance. The Register was interested in action because of its unique design. Now, a lot of the boats that were built in the 1940s were double diagonal planking, and action is actually a cold moulded hull, which is before epoxy resins, they cold moulded and they used copper rivets to make the hull. So that's why it's a little bit unique.
So, and does it add value to the boat?
Well, I suppose from a historical value it does. From a financial point of view, I'm not quite sure whether it would or it wouldn't.
And do you get a little plaque that goes in the galley or something?
Over its lifetime, 15 kilos of grease and food passes through a dishwasher, potentially clogging the vital hidden parts. For flawless results, use Finish Dishwasher Cleaner, the only product with a dual-layer formula. Its blue layer targets grease. The clear layer attacks lime scale for an unbeatable clean. And a cleaner dishwasher means cleaner dishes. Finish the Diamond Standard.
Group that are probably the most successful shipwreck finders in recent times.
We're on the World Wide Web, so it's www.southernoceanexploration.com.au. And you'll find a list of all of the vessels that we found and the ones we're looking for.
Now, I know this is sort of going one step further. What's going to happen to the boat when you decide you no longer are able to look after her?
Well, hopefully that will be...
He's going to be buried in it.
Hopefully in 25 years. My son is very interested in the boat. And so hopefully it could pass on to him, or... As time goes by, you don't know what will happen, but I'd be happy if the day comes that someone can own it and have the same dedication.
Justin, thank you very much for coming in and telling us about this marvellous boat, and I'm hoping I might get an invite when the weather gets a bit better.
It'll be a pleasure. Thank you.
You're listening to 3RPP's Environment Program 98.7